congregation please be seated? Well, first, I would like to say welcome to St. James on this beautiful winter Sunday. It is great that you can be here in this warm building with warm hearts and warm souls on a cold, blistery winter day. So, welcome. Another announcement that we have is in 2 weeks' time, so not this Sunday, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, is our parish vestry. Vestry is a fancy Anglican word that means annual general meeting. So, you're welcome to come to that. Check your emails. You should have the reports of myself, of the wardens, of the music committee, of a number of things should be in your email. So take a look. If you don't have that, please contact the office. And if you'd really, really, really like a paper copy, there are a few hanging out at the back of the church. I think those are the announcements. Have I missed anything? Oh, yes, indeed. Our regular musician, Steve, is off somewhere in the States playing jeans and classic music. And so we wish him well and having fun, but we are blessed to have Ralph on the organ today. So, Ralph, welcome and glad to have you back. And with that, let us take a moment to pray and to enter into worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we say together, Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Merciful Lord, grant unto your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born. He appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Word of the Lord.
Because of your love and faithfulness. I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. Kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. He cares for the lowly. He perceives the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
With you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fisher folk had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am sinful." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that had been taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So when I was growing up, I was switching between grade 6 and grade 7, and I was a scrawny, nerdy kid. And my parents... I didn't like that. I was, believe it or not, a scrawny, nerdy kid.
No.
And I was going into a particularly rough high school in the city of Winnipeg. My parents were fairly nervous, and so they decided to take me out and put me into an evangelical, Christian, non-denominational high school that was very, very Mennonite. I think I had 4 Mr. Rempels, none of them related, all teaching different subjects in class. Not only was it a fairly non-denominational evangelical school, we also had chapel 3 times a week. And one of the things that I will say that the evangelical church does better than the Anglicans is they give what's called a testimony. And about once or twice a week, one of the student body would get up and they would talk about their story of their relationship with Jesus, how they became saved, how they were connected with their faith, and gave this really inspiring talk, sermon, preach, something like that. And then the school would go on with its day and you'd catch those people out behind the parking lot having a cigarette after. But they really did do something about proclaiming and talking about faith doing something in their lives. As Anglicans, we are far too polite to actually talk about what God is doing for us. Fortunately, we have other things. And one of those things is the testimony of the scriptures that we heard today. Today we heard about 2 of Jesus' disciples and how they came to follow Jesus. One was Peter, and the other one was Paul. Peter was the fisherman we heard about in the gospel reading, how he was out doing his normal everyday activity. Jesus commandeers his boat, tells him to work harder, and then suddenly he's overwhelmed with fish. And his response was, "Get away from me, I'm not good enough for this." And Jesus says, "Come and follow me." And in 2 of the different Gospels, it says that Peter immediately followed Jesus and left behind all his normal life. Paul, on the other hand, never traveled with Jesus during his life. Paul was a good, righteous Jewish leader of the community, set to have a great life, was a Roman citizen, had everything going for him, and saw this new sect of Christians coming out of the woodworks, didn't like them very much, and actively persecuted them until he was on his way to another city and had a deep and profound religious experience, which changed his life and led him to be one of the most prolific authors in the New Testament. Both of these people came to Jesus and followed him in a way that was unique and true to them. Within our tradition, we also have access to something called the Cult of the Saints, which sounds creepy and kind of weird, but is a sense that throughout history, we've recognized that God has moved in the lives of men and women and all of God's creation in unique and special ways. There's a fancy church word called hagiography, which means the study or the stories of saints. And if you study it, if you look at it, saints of all names, shapes, and places, you've got saints like Polycarp, you've got saints like Origen, you've got saints like you name it, each and every one of them had a very unique and very different story about how they began to follow God, how they began to follow Jesus, and how Jesus did things in their lives. The good news is that those hagiographies, those stories of how God works in the world, never end. They started with the New Testament, with Paul and Peter and James and John. They continued to the first century disciples of the apostles and continued through the Middle Ages, through the Renaissance, even to now, where God is working in and through each and every one of us here. Now, around this time of year, when vestry is coming, it is a time where myself or members of the nomination committee go out into the congregation and say, hey, we think you might be really good at this. And just like Peter and Paul, almost every person we approach says, oh no, I couldn't possibly. I'm not good enough. I don't do it the way that Barb would do, warden. I can't sit on parish council the way Tim would sit on parish council. I can't lead worship committee the way Jerry would lead worship committee. And the good news is, you're right. You can't. Because God only made one Barb, or one Jerry, or one me, or one you. God invites each and every one of you to engage in that relationship with Him in a way that's unique and true to you. I remember when I was in high school, there was a lot of questions about, I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to figure out who I am and what I want to be. And a lot of people, you know, went on and followed their lives. But I think that question is so close to being the right question, but not quite. Instead of, who do I want to be? I think the question that we all should ask, even today, even if you're not in high school, is, who is God calling me to be? For God works with each and every one of us in the individual ways that make sense to us. God doesn't want us to be something that we're not. God doesn't want us to be Ned Flanders or any other stereotype of a Christian person. God wants you to be the way God made you to be. And when we accept that, when we listen, when we embrace the calling that God has on our lives, that is when we find joy and fulfillment. If any of you are literary scholars and have read Dante's The Divine Comedy, most people get stuck in the hell bit because it's wild and crazy. But I'm really touched by when Dante gets to heaven. And as he's climbing up the proverbial mountain of heaven, he finds people at the lower echelons and says to them, don't you wish you were higher up? And their response is a response that I hope that we can all emulate and embrace. It's, why would I want to be anywhere other than where God made me to be? Being higher up that mountain isn't better. It's just for someone else. God has a place for each and every one of us where we will be happy and content, that's made for us. Almost every funeral we have, the readings come from Matthew that say, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And that's true. But each dwelling place is made especially and uniquely for each person who's to dwell there. In the ancient world, the church was compared to a chariot. One wheel was the contemplative, the spiritual, the mystical. And the other wheel was the practical and the earthly. And if one wheel was either too big or too small, the chariot would go in circles. It's only when we each embody fully the person who we are, that we are part of something that's moving in a wonderful direction. Reverend Anne has been working on the children's program known as the Kids Camino here on Tuesdays. And part of what she's been doing is teaching kids some of those hagiographies, the stories of the saints. And last week she was absolutely insufferable talking about Thérèse de Lisieux. If any of you have talked to her, you've probably heard the story already. And Thérèse de Lisieux was this fiery, passionate, angry young woman who thought, if I could just get into a monastery, I would be chill and calm and it would be all peaceful. It would be great. That's what I've got to do. And worked hard to get permission to enter the monastery at an early age. And when she went into the monastery, the sister in front of her walked too slowly or didn't wash her dishes right or any one of a number of things that raised that ire up in this fiery woman. And so she realized at a certain point, God was working through the person that she was made to be. And instead of fighting that fiery temper, she recognized that each time she didn't scream at a sister, that was an act of mercy. That was God working through her. God works through each and every one of us in the way that we were meant to be. And so when we find that, when we're invited into that, it becomes a lot easier to immediately follow God. And so let us continue to grow deeper into our walk with God, into our relationship, into our spirituality, not because we will lose ourselves, but because we will truly find ourselves. And let us, if we're brave enough, share our stories with one another. For what God has done for me might be what you need to hear God can do for you. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Having heard the word of God spoken to us through Holy Scripture, having wrestled with what it might mean for us today, let us confess our faith, the faith of our baptism, as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And would the congregation adopt a position of prayer, either sitting, standing, or kneeling, for the prayers of the people?
When we call your answer, great is your glory. Lord Jesus, you taught your people from the shallows of the lake. Inspire teachers of your word today to present your good news in accessible ways. May the gospel of truth once again capture the imagination of this nation. When we call, you answer. Great is your glory. Lord Jesus, you encourage tired fishermen to put out again into deep waters, delighting them with a catch beyond measure. Raise up leaders who will inspire nations to strive for justice. Give persistence and courage where opposition to your peace seems overwhelming. When we call, you answer, great is your glory. Lord Jesus, friends and partners struggled together to haul in the catch. Give us grace to work for all that strengthens the bond of communal life. Sustain all that fosters the common good. When we call, you answer, great is your glory. Lord Jesus, you brought encouragement to the weary and fresh hope to the despondent. Lift the hearts of all weighed down with sickness or anxiety. With hearts and voices, we will praise you. Reinforce our deep and profound religious stories of your work in our lives. When we call, you answer. Great is your glory. We think today especially of Sylvia, Sherry, Don and Nancy, Robert, Brian, Gavin, Trevor, RuPaul and Archie, Catherine, and Eleanor. Lord Jesus, you appeared to your disciples risen from the dead. Fill us with this hope in grief and at the hour of our death. We pray today for John Irvine and Jeff Randall. Bring us to rejoice in your salvation. When we call, you answer. Great is your glory.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. He said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us pray. God of compassion and forgiveness, receive all that we offer you this day, and make us one with him who is our peace, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Thank you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You are the source of light and life for all your creation. You made us in your own image and call us to new life in Jesus Christ our Savior. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. To you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine, We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Eternal God, in you we find peace beyond all telling. May we who have shared in this heavenly banquet be instruments of your peace on earth, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.